Can y'all hear me okay? The old rugged cross, that's what it's all about. For without the death and redemption, we'd be nothing. We always need to remember that. It's all about the cross. So anyway, I want to talk today about prayer and our true personal relationship with Jesus. And I had started out here with something, but then this morning I was reading and in here, and so I just thought I'd start out with this. And this is from a gentleman named Billy Graham. Anyone heard of him? Okay, I thought maybe some of you had. Anyway, it's a little short devotional here, and it's the privilege of prayer. And he says, what a privilege is ours, the privilege of prayer. Just think of it. You and I have the incredible privilege of approaching the God of the universe, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. We can do this because Jesus Christ has opened the way. We're to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. We're to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. And we are to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We're to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient. Pray believing in the promises of God's word, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's 1 John 5:14. Anyway, prayer is very, very essential in the lives of a Christian. I mean, it's probably one of the, other than faith and belief, it's probably one of the most important things. And prayer is something I'm very passionate about. I spend a lot of time doing it because I need it. It's our way, the true relationship with Jesus. And I don't know if y'all remember, but several years ago, there was, it's very popular for Christians to approach people and they would ask, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus personally? But what they were really asking was, are you saved or have you given your life to Jesus? But let me say this, you can be saved, but really not have a personal relationship with your Savior. You're saved, you've given your life, but you don't really know him. In Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name do drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now this actually just refers to those who think that they can get to heaven by doing good works. But they've not given their heart to Jesus and they've not accepted him. They don't know him, and as he says, he never knew them. And unfortunately, I think we've got a lot of folks like that running around nowadays. But anyway, but this doesn't apply to true believers. If you're a true believer, you don't have to worry. But unfortunately, there are many true believers that really do not know Jesus as their friend. They tend to think of him as something obscure out there, that he's my Savior, but I don't know him. But let's start by talking about just prayer in general, which is, we probably all do that. We do it when we come to church. So what are the different kinds of prayers? Well, there's adoration, there's lament, thanksgiving, petition, prayers of deliverance, prayers of contrition, prayers for endurance. These are just some of the prayers that we pray in church or at home alone. But let me just discuss some of the different ways that we pray for these things. And the first one is a setting like this. This is corporate prayer. That's when prayers is done in a group setting. It's when we come to church. When people get to worship, come together and worship in church and to pray as a church in agreement. Or when a group of people get together in a prayer meeting or a small group to pray, or when they discuss and pray over the gospel. As in the early church, this is where people had to meet all the time, was in homes and places like that because they couldn't do it in the open. But in the early church, James gives us an example of a group of Christians who have gathered together in corporate prayer. James 5, 13 through 16 says, if any of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. is anyone sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And says, remember, the prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I believe that. I believe it. Prayer is a very strong thing to do, and it can bring about much change. But this is also why believers should always make it a point to always come together in church, or in a group setting, or a prayer group, or a home Bible study, or just in a prayer meeting. It's very important that people get together. Acts 2:46 tells us, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of God's people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. There's strength in the numbers when we get together. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three come together in my name, I am there with them. He's here with us today. Get in the Spirit and feel Him. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's not get in the habit of not meeting together. I commend everyone who's here. It's a cold day, at least for Texans. But anyway, unfortunately, there are too many Christians, they're in the habit of staying home. But as the world that is unfolding now before us, we can see the changes. Now let's hope as we watch what is happening in the world and we see the Bible prophecies unfolding before us, let us pray for revival. This is why it is so important to faithfully attend church. Remember, we come not only to worship, but to pray. Christians fight their battles on their knees. Though we may be small in numbers here, let us be known as a church that is mighty to pray. Just let everyone know, we may not be many, but we pray hard. Now let's just talk about another kind of prayer, and that's intercessory prayer. And this is a praying for someone else to lift them up in times of need, or a prayer for healing, or to help them out of a difficult situation, or to pray for the lost in need of salvation. And that's an important thing to do also. This can be done in groups, or it can be done alone. John 17, verse 6, Jesus prays for his disciples, prays for each and every one of them. John 17, verse 20, Jesus prays for all believers. That's us. Says you need to sit down. You need to sit down and read these chapters. When you read them, you'll see just how much Jesus loves and cares for you. Because Jesus intercedes for us at all times. So should we not do the same as Jesus did? I do encourage you, read John 17, read those ones where he prays for the believers and he prays for his disciples. And you'll see just how much Jesus does care and how important prayer is to him. Anyway, Paul tells us that in Ephesians 18, verse 6, he says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying and pray for all the saints. Yes, well, who are these saints? Well, Paul tells us many times in the Bible that we're all saints. I know when I've been in a bad habit of telling people, I'm no saint. Well, actually, when I read that, I was like, well, wow, maybe I'm calling the Lord a liar. Because Paul tells us that a saint is anyone who is sanctified and made holy in Christ Jesus. This describes all who believe in Jesus and are made holy by his grace, or anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So that's us. We are actually saints. And he tells us to be holy. And what is to be holy? Holy is anyone who is set apart. If you are in Christ, you are set apart from the world. The definition, if you look it up, of holy is simply set apart. We're different. We're different from the world out there. Says, you may sit around and think, though, in your situation in life, whatever is handed you, that, you know, there's really not much that I can do, not much I can do for the Lord. It's just, I'm struggling, but just getting by. But you're wrong. You're wrong about that. You can pray for others. That's intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer is a powerful weapon in the hands of a true believer. I think we've seen that here. We've seen people healed. We've seen people made well. Situations changed because we prayed. And those people, and pray, people prayed at home for them. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge them first of all that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. When you think you can do nothing, you can pray. Now, I want to talk about the kind of prayer that truly brings about that personal relationship with Jesus, that thing that will really make a difference in your life. And that's your personal quiet time with the Lord. So let's listen to what Jesus says about this kind of prayer. In Matthew 6:6, he said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Each and every one of us should have a time and a place to pray alone, one-on-one with the Lord. You need a quiet space where you're not distracted by the noise and the clatter of this world, not any outside in problems. Anyway, sometimes it's known as a prayer closet. Y'all probably heard that. Says there's a movie made a few years ago, and you can still get it on DVD. It's called The War Room. It's basically the woman, she has her own private little closet space, and that's where she goes and just prays her heart out. And this is where you get on your knees, and that's where you fight your battles. You say, well, when is the best time to pray? For me, it's early in the morning. I like to get up early before anyone else. You know, I just sit in my little chair over there, and I pull out my devotionals and my Bible, and I spend my time in prayer. And this is where I pour out my heart, and this is where you should pour out your heart and empty your heart to the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in truth. Don't be afraid to be truthful with the Lord. Tell Him the truth, even if it's something that you may be ashamed of. You let Him know because He already knows. Hold nothing back. Share your deepest hopes and fears with Him, and remember the Lord knows already what you need, but He wants to hear it from you. So people often say, well, I don't have time for this. Yeah? I'm just too busy for this. But now I want to address that. I looked this up. According to statistics, the average person today spends 4 hours and 25 minutes each day on their cell phone. So you have no excuse not to spend at least 1 hour in quiet prayer with your Lord and Savior. And why should we do this? Because our Savior did it. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And notice that it says He often did this. This is a discipline that we should, each and every one of us should develop. Christianity is not just belief and trust. It's also a lot of discipline. You need to discipline yourself in certain things. Coming to church is one, and so is prayer. Do you say, I just don't know what to say or how to pray the right way? Well, there is no right or wrong way to pray. Prayer, listen to this, prayer is merely a conversation with your Maker and your Savior. It's just a conversation, just like I would speak with you and me. Don't be afraid. You might also say, I'm just too timid to pray that way. And it's just that It's too intimate for me to be with God. But God tells us in Hebrews 4:16 very plainly, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The Lord wants you to come to Him with no fear. Don't be afraid to talk to the Lord. He wants to hear from you, as I said before. In 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. Sit alone and cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you." And note that, He cares for you. So ask the Lord to show you how to pray. Remember, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." So don't be ashamed to ask the Lord. If you don't understand, you're not sure how to do it, ask the Lord to show you how to do it. Ask the Lord to help you pray in the Spirit. And if you can, you can pray the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. You can start with the 23rd Psalm. Just about everyone has heard that. Many of you might have it memorized, but it's a good one. That's why it's probably the number one most read Psalm, because it is good. David pours out his heart. The entire book of Psalms is a great way to start. It's basically one prayer after another. If you start reading your Psalms, you'll find out that, wow, there's prayers in here. This relates to my story right now. This is what's going on in my life over here. But if you're still having problems with some of it, there are also prayer guides that can help you get started with your prayer life. And I want to talk about this one. Someone gave me this, probably about 10 years ago, and I want to tell you. I really didn't have a hard time praying. It was something kind of came natural to me. Maybe because his pad calls me Mr. Gabby. I like to talk sometimes, but anyway. But this is Prayers That Avail. It's a book here. You can get it on Amazon or wherever. It's Prayers That Avail Much. It's by a woman named Jermaine Copeland. And I want to tell you, I can pass it around later on or whatever. In the front here, it has a section. And I mean, there is a prayer for literally anything that you could think about. Anything that bothers you. And the prayers in here, some of them are just, there's prayers for everything. Even a prayer in here for travel. If you're worried about going on a trip, there's a prayer in here for travel. So I would suggest, if you're having problems in your prayer life, get one of these. Look it up. It will really help you. I still use it. I still reference it from time to time. Gives you good ideas of things. But when you do pray, you need to be like the persistent widow. Y'all remember that verse? It's Luke 18:1-8, where she goes to the unjust judge and says, "Grant me mercy against my enemy." And the judge says, "No, go away, leave me alone." But she keeps coming back. And so finally he says, "Though I don't care about God, I don't care about men, I will grant her her wish so that she'll quit bothering me." And this is people have a hard time understanding this, but anyway, Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Remember the story of Jacob in Genesis? And if you've ever read this one, Genesis 32:26 says, "Jacob wrestled with a man until daybreak, and then the man touched Jacob's hip, and it was wrenched out of socket. Then the man said, 'Let go of me, because it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let go unless you bless me.' Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but it will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome.'" There's a lot of theologians, in fact, most of them agree that this man was probably the pre-incarnate Jesus that he wrestled with. But be like him in prayer. Grab hold and don't let go. Keep praying. Oswald Chambers has a little bit of a different take on this. He says we should not struggle with God, but we should struggle before Him. We should not try to force our will on God, but that we can pray with all our heart and strength that He will bless us. So don't let go. Just keep praying. It's important that in everything that you pray, even at the end of whatever prayer, whatever we want, that, Lord, your will be done, because his will is much better than ours. So it's important, but pray with all your strength. But sometimes we struggle in prayer so much that we get tired. It can make us weary, worn out, and we feel just like giving up. But don't. Don't give up. It may seem that God is silent, but he's not. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes God's silence is when the Lord is telling you, just slow down. You need to decompress. Sit quietly and just listen for God. I'll go back to Mr. Chambers again. One thing, and he writes, "A wonderful thing about God's silence is that his stillness is contagious. It gets into us, causing you to become perfectly confident, to believe honestly that everything that you have asked for has been heard in prayer by God. His silence is the very proof that he has. Christ is bringing you into an understanding that prayer is for the glorifying of the Father. So also, we take our requests and our things, but our prayers, especially our prayers in private, one-on-one, that's where we truly glorify God. And people say, well, did you go and worship at church today? Yes, I did. But I've worshiped with him all week long. Every morning, I have worshiped with God through prayer. So once you do reach this point and you begin to achieve some intimacy with God in your prayers, you'll find that you're beginning to converse with Jesus just like a friend. John 15:15 says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." It's right here in this Bible over here. Everything that God made known to Jesus Christ, he made known to us. Pick it up and read it. It'll help you. Help you with your prayers. There are prayers in there, and you pray those scriptures. It says the great American evangelist D.L. Moody, anybody heard of him? He quoted this. He says, "A rule I have had for years is to treat the Lord Jesus as a personal friend. He is not a creed, a mere doctrine, but it is he himself that we have." Remember the song, "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." It is a privilege that most of the world doesn't have, but as Christians and believers, we have been granted that. Don't waste it. Use it. It's this time that in prayer, private prayer, this is where our Savior, where he calms us, he soothes our souls. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the catalyst that causes you to seek the Lord, but prayer is how we refuel it every morning or every day. You need prayer. You need prayer to refuel yourself every day. Even though the Holy Spirit will not leave you, you can leave the Holy Spirit and lose its power. Not that you're not saved, but that it just you're not getting what out of it what you need. I want to go to Mr. Charles Spurgeon here for a minute, hear what he has to say about this. And he says, "If I neglect prayer for even a short time, I lose all the spirituality which I have attained. If I obtain no fresh supplies from heaven, the old grain in my granary is soon consumed by the famine that rages in my soul. When the caterpillars of indifference and the swarming locusts of worldliness and the creeping locusts of self-indulgence lay my heart completely desolate and make my soul to languish, all my former fruitfulness and growth in grace avail nothing whatsoever." In other words, all that we are as Christians, we lose so much of our blessings if we do not stay in prayer. And he tells us, "Let us use the text of the scripture as fuel for our heart's fire. They are live coals. Let us hear the word of God preached, but above all, let us be much alone with Jesus. Let us be much alone with Jesus. So if you want that personal relationship with Jesus, you want the peace and the joy and the fullness of life that Jesus promises, so that you will find it there in your quiet time with God. My mother had this little plaque that she had needle pointed, hanging on the wall down at the ranch, and it says, if your day is hemmed in prayer, it's less likely to unravel. Now, I look at that every morning when I cook myself breakfast. So, the old hymn right here, Sweet Hour of Prayers, just kind of, I'm not going to sing it, all right, because I want you to stay here. But anyway, just close your eyes for a second and listen to this. And it says, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Wouldn't we all like to have that, to just sit there and that, just to have that kind of feeling? Mr. Chambers says again, keep your life so constantly in touch with God that His surprising power can break through at any point. Live in a constant state of expectancy and leave room for God to come in as He decides. And He will surprise you. He'll show up at any time, even when sometimes when you're at your lowest point. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice that? Prayer is God's will for you. People, oh, what is God's will for me? Well, He wrote it down in the Bible. Prayer is God's will for you. If you just think about this, Jesus is the doorway, but prayer is the key that opens the door on there. So anyway, Ed's going to play a song for us real quick, and then we'll close it out in prayer over here. And I talked a little bit about praying the scriptures, and I was just wanted to kind of see if I could give a little example here of that. I should have marked this faster, but I didn't. Here we go. If you're wondering, you know, I don't know. I feel so anxious. I feel so just worried about something. Well, this is a very, very well-known quoted verse in the Bible, and it's from Philippians 4:4. Anyway, you can take this and pray this. Pray this to the Lord this way. It says, oh Lord, help me not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving to you, help me to present my request to you, O Lord. And your peace, O Lord, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And finally, O Lord, whatever is true and whatever is noble and whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, help me to think about such things. And whatever I have learned or received from you, O Lord, help me to put it into practice. And you, O Lord, the God of peace, will be with me. Amen. That's how you can just pray a scripture there. And then I want you to remember this in Isaiah. In fact, as a matter of fact, somebody sent this to me this morning. I'd already written it down, but it was kind of, I thought, well, that's a God thing, because I got it received this morning from Johnny. But anyway, the Lord says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Remember, when you pray the scriptures, that is God's word, and it will accomplish what you desire, and it will not return to Him empty. Amen. Amen. Just pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for all the folks that were here today. I pray, dear Lord, that you just help us bring a closer and closer relationship to you. Sometimes when things bother us and trouble us, oh Lord, that is when we seem to get far away from you, but that is when we need you the most. That is when we need to be the closest. That is when we need to get down and personal and private with you, Lord. Just to give you our heart and our soul, just to tell us everything, just to let you know everything. In truth, in spirit, we ask that we pray in transparency, that we hold nothing back. And that, oh Lord, you will just bring that peace that is through you, Jesus. I pray that for each and every person here, today and forever. Amen. All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.